In our last chair, we finished discussing the basic principles of Kesher Shel Kayama, and we noted that fundamentally there are three ways of taking three ways of understanding the notion of Kayama. One is to say it's about the quality, the durability of the knot itself. The second, the other extreme, is to say it's based on the subjective intent of the person who tied the knot. And then in the middle, there's the possibility that it's about what people normally do with this type of knot. Now, the truth is that for the most part, the question of quality and durability we discussed when we dealt with Kesher Uman, and then again when we dealt with Aniva, Efshel Hatiro Biar Achas, and the like. With leaving those aside, we noted that within Kayama, the Taz fundamentally takes the position, as the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that Kayama is about your personal intent. The Mishneh Brura, the Bar Halacha, takes the position primarily that it's about what normal people do, though he also includes the possibility, the halacha, that we also worry about your own intent. So it seems to be, as Rav Gigi notes within the Bar Halacha, that there are two different ways something could be defined as kayama, either because normal people tie the knot for significant periods of time, or because you meant to do it for a long period of time. We also noted the question of what exactly is kayama, how long is long enough. We noted that the Taz thinks, as the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that at least on a biblical level, kayama means that you mean to leave it with no concrete plans to untie it at any point. But no matter how long you plan on leaving it tied, as long as you have plans to untie it, then it is not daraisa. Beis Yosef seems to take a different position, and the Beis Yosef goes more in the direction that there are objective standards for the D'oraisa, and he raises different possibilities, a week, a month, 6 months, a year, quoting different Rishonim, though, as the Taz himself notes, it's very difficult to read that in the Rishonim, as many of them, and for example, Rashi, who the Beis Yosef says Shavua for, Rashi himself says Shavua o Shvuayim. But that is only relevant to level d'oraisa. On the level of d'rabbanan, we're obviously more machmir, and we noted that in Shulchan Aruch says that normally we want things to be untied within 24 hours, but we b'di'eved, or in the cases of, not b'di'eved, in cases of t'chak, or the like, we're willing to be makil for 7 days based on those positions. So just to look at some different issues that come up, we mentioned them quickly, but I'll spell them out a little bit more fully now. So in addition to all of these principles being important for kosher, they're also important for matir, because the general rule is that whatever you would violate kosher for if you tied it, you would violate matir for if you untied it. And therefore, it's important to know when something becomes defined as Shel Kayama. So one issue that comes up is I mentioned this last time, but the Chutshani, Rizin Karelitz, deals with the question of what happens if a child or a shote who doesn't have das, if he ties a knot, will that be considered kayama, such that if he meant to leave it there forever, or whatever you think kayama means, could an adult then untie it? So he assumes that, yes, that in such a case we do take the katan's das into account, because this is not das qua das, it's das in so far as it's defining a masa, and the child has a masa. And since he is tying the knot, his intent is just qualifying what type of knot is it. It's not intent for the sake of intent, it's intent for defining an action that he assumes the katan does have. And therefore, if a katan means to leave it forever, then even an adult would not be allowed to untie it. The second issue that we dealt with, that he deals with there, is the question of if you tie a knot in somebody else's clothes, on something that belongs to someone else, what would the halacha be? So he assumes that it depends. Fundamentally, he would think that Right? He thinks that if you tie it for forever, you don't really have the right to do that. It's not inasam adam osar davar shina shalo. He just says that practically, you may have no intent to untie it, but if you tie a knot in someone else's clothes or someone else's property and they don't want it there, their das is koveya, because this isn't, you may have thought that it was going to be there forever, but since you don't own it, you don't control it, practically that das was meaningless. And that is what he knows. The original of this appears in the Maral Diskin, but that is how he explains it and says it's not about an Adamosar Davar Shein Shelo, but rather a local halacha to kosher. Similarly, he says, if you have something which is owned by two partners, and the way you normally use it is that one person will tie it, the next person will untie it whenever he happens to get around to it, again, he thinks that that would not be considered le'olam. Now, one of the most practical halachic issues in general is shoelaces. What exactly do with shoelaces? Now, the truth is that most shoelaces are something like a anival gabe kasher. And as we saw, anival gabe kasher is a machlokes in the Ramah and the Nosei Kelim, whether that is a problem. But the truth is that shoelaces are the type of thing that usually aren't meant to be left for a long period of time. Now, if you mean to leave it for less than 24 hours, so then that solves all problems, even if you think there's a problem with anival gabe kasher. If you are tying your shoes, and, you know, you leave your shoes tied for a week, 2 weeks at a time, so then you will get into a problem, maybe not d'oraisa, because, if it normally comes untied by itself or something like that, but that wouldn't be mutter lechatchila. And if you're the type of person who generally leaves his shoes tied for long periods of time, so then you can't untie it if you change your mind. Now, one of the very a bit complicated shilas that the Achronim deal with is what happens if you tied something and meant for it to be temporary, but then you change your mind. Does the fact that you change your mind now make it lo'olam? So now if you change your mind back, you wouldn't be allowed to untie it. So this is dealt with in the Avnei Nezer, and then Rav Shmuel Zalman takes it up. It's in the footnote, Shmir Shabbos, Kehilchot Ner, Perek Tezvav, Sif Katan Reish Hei. So Norwith quotes Rav Shmuel Zalman. He says, "Shemistabik v'kasher shenaseh me'ila v'ichlit b'da'ato la'ashiro le'olam, de'ashad dun da'raitza afim chishiv shelo b'shas k'shir nechshav k'kasher o'shel kayama, shebo la'hatzer z'kasher amrin de'ein machshav motziya midei machshav v'choshav kematir kasher o'shel kayama." So he thought that maybe on a biblical level, if you decide to leave it there forever, so now it will be a problem. And perhaps only by derabanan you'd be makil. But he notes that the Avnei Nezer was makil. And the Avnei Nezer had a very clever svara. And he said, look, if you tied it la'olam, so then changing your das, you don't want it forever, that is not going to help you. But if you tied it and you meant for it to be temporary, and then you change your mind once it's already tied, and then you change your mind back, so presumably your change in intent can undo your previous change in intent, which had undone your previous change in intent, and therefore he is note lehakel. But that is one of the more complicated cases in terms of how exactly do you define das. For more exact details, you can look there. Now the Rav Shmuel Zalman himself tries to go through different cases. He notes that perhaps something that normally is done with a double knot, and then you try to do it with an aniva, and it turns into a double knot, but then you're happy about it, since it's the type of thing that you normally would have made a double knot and left for a significant period of time, and that's in the end what happened, so maybe that would be a problem. Maybe. But that is one of sort of the more more complicated cases. Another case, which we noted last time, and the sheets I just put here from Minchas Yitzchak that he discusses this with Neuwirth, is the question of a knot that you're going to throw out. Is that called kayama because you never plan on untying it, or the fact you're throwing out make it mutter because you don't care about the knot, even though it's technically going to stay forever? The majority of poskim on this are machmir. Shlomo Zalman goes back and forth on this in Shmir Shabbos. But in general, most of the poskim are machmir on this, and therefore the Rabbi Ribiat notes that one should be careful that if you're going to throw out a diaper, so if you want to tape up the diaper with the in such a way that it stays closed and you're intending to throw it out, so that really is forever, and that may be a problem. Maybe that's not kosher, maybe it's tofer, but that would be considered problematic. And therefore, he suggests, he rules that you should not do that. The Minchas Yitzchak, though, is no deal lehakel on this. Okay. Now, in terms of double knots, so we already know the double knots are we try not to do them, as the Rambam notes, based on the Shilte Giborim. In terms of clothing, so even though normally we don't do double knots, so looser double knots that you always untie, so Shlomo Zalman ruled that is permitted, and therefore Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kehil Chasa Perek Tesvav as saying that if a woman normally ties her matpachat with a double knot, but it's a loose double knot, even though it's a double knot, it's very, very loose and comes out easily, so that's not the type of double knot that we define as usur. It's not really uman, nor is it kayama, and therefore he is mekel. However, the chutshani is less comfortable with this and thinks that it is a problem, unless it's b'makom tsa'ar, because he says, no, if it's a double knot, so we're not bikiyim, we don't know exactly the geder of kesher amitz, of kesher uman, and therefore, since we're machmir by double knot, so even a double knot on a mitpachat, which, you're not planning on leaving for a long time, he does think is problematic. Obviously, everyone will agree that if you tie a double knot on a mitpachat with the intent to leave it that way, because you slip it on and off, you don't untie it and retie it, so then that would be problematic. Okay, so that's just some of the applications of kayama. Another halacha that is important is the halacha brought in the Rambam in Perek Yud, halacha ches, of potach chavalim. So the Rambam says that a potach chavalim min ahutzim min achalav, o michute tzemer, o michute pishton, o michute ser, v'chayotzim min arede, ze told us kosher v'chayav. So he writes, and not just tying a knot, twisting a thread, making a thread by twisting it, is a tolada of kosher de araisa. And therefore, he also writes, "V'chein ha'mafrid as apsila rezeh toldos matir v'chayev." So, if you untie, you untwist rather a string, that is also going to be asur midah araisa. Presumably, it is asur midah araisa because it is a tolada of matir. Now, this is nifsak lahalacha. It's quoted by Mogen Avram. It's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Yud Zayin. Assuming it's not a case of mekalkel, then it is aser mi de araisa. Now, most of us aren't spinning thread, though. You know, you could if you're playing with the bottom of your tzitzis or something. I don't know. That could be potentially very problematic. But the question that the poskim dealt with is, what about a twist tie? Is a twist tie aser because you're twisting It is that twisting motion, and once you say that twisting a string, twisting a rope, can be a tolada of kosher, so is a twist eye usur as well. So the Shmir Shabbos deals with this. He says, "Ulfizei yesh ladun duah dinami amelafif chutei barza bechozek dechay mishum kosher." He says, according to this, once you have bozal chavolim, so then you would say a twist eye usur. And even a single knot, and the type of thing that you normally only do with a single knot, like this metal string, if it's permanent, once we've established this, so it could be that it's similar enough, and therefore you are chayev chenshamati me'agon rishol mazalman or bachzatel, and therefore he is machmir on twist ties. Now there is a story, I've only heard it apocryphal, so I don't know if it's true, that someone once asked Rabbi Yashiv about twist ties, and he imitated it by turning his hand once, and he said mutter. And then someone else asked him the shaila, and he turned his hand twice, and he said it was aser. And people didn't realize what was going on, and he explained that he thought it was mutter to turn it once, to twist it once, but not twice. I have no idea whether this is true. I heard it, I think, many, many years ago when I was in camp. But at any rate, Shlomo Zalman is machmir on using twist ties on Shabbos. However, many other poskim are meikil. If you look at the Pinini Halacha, is a nice summary of this, where he says, "Shlomo Zalman orba chichmir lasros kiras hakid le ochel ayide libuf shalchut barzel lemeshach yoter miyashim varba shaot." So Shlomo Zalman is machmir. At least if you're leaving it for more than 24 hours, if you're doing less than 24 hours, it might be mutter. For reasons that we've already discussed, because once your kavanah is less than 24 hours, that's the category of kayama, which is mutter lechatchila. Shov alifuva omed v'kayama reiz et kasher. And he notes that Rabbi Yashiv seems to have said the same thing. So again, I don't know whether he actually distinguishes between 1 and 2, but in Orcho Shabbos, he quotes Rabbi Yashiv as forbidding it. But the Panini Halacha is Mekel. He writes, "V'ein nir lahachshivo kikosher hol v'lo alipuf ma'amido alachozek shel hachut." So the reason is because when the Rambam says that twisting a string is kosher, that's because it's the twisting itself that gives it the strength, rather than the taut nature, the tightness of the metal itself. It's not that it's strong per se; it's easy to undo. It's just that it stays in place, because metal isn't like string; it doesn't easily unravel. And he said that's no different than buttons or the like, which, as we've noted, Rabbi Ribiat, more than anyone else, really develops this notion that the heter of many of these things on Shabbos is derech tashmisha, which is the way it's used, and therefore it's not considered creating or anything like that, it's just usage, and that's why it's permitted. And a twist tie, according to Pini Halacha, is in the same category. Shem b'em shumisr, and therefore it's not asur. And he notes that this is the Ruvos Ephraim, the Shevet HaLevi, and the Orcho Shabbos, quotes it by Rav Nissim Karelitz. And therefore, he thinks it's not Uman, it's definitely not Doraisa, and once it's not Doraisa, and he's note to Lahakel, he says, so, Safeg Darabon Lakula, Rabbi Ribiat notes in his footnotes that Moshe Feinstein was Makel. I gave you here the piece in the Chutshani as well. Right, and he suggests there that the reason he might be makil is because it's the type of thing that is opened routinely, which again is the type of argument that Pnei Halacha already quoted, and indeed he was channeling Rav Nissim Karelitz. And just to quote Rav Nissim Karelitz, he says, "Amnam nira dechem shenase kesher ze amenas leftoch lezgor v'zeu derech hashimush bo." And again, that's what we noted from Rav Ribiat, this notion of derech tashmisho, ein ze bechal pozal chavolim. It's not like twisting rope. Ve'vidum yishemut leftoch delet v'chalon she'ubayit afshu k'mo bo nevesozer. And this is exactly what Rav Ribiat says, and that's why opening and closing a door is not called bone. It's not called building a wall, because it is derech tashmisho. That's what it's built for, and therefore it is omed lakach, and it is permitted. And he says the same thing is true here. Now, Many poskim do note, I just gave you a summary of it by a regular student, that if you do want to be machmir, even though many, if not most poskim, are makil on the issue, the only time when you even run into the question of chavolim is if you do this in a twisting motion, but if you did it in a wrapping motion instead, so then it would not be Doma L'Posel Chavalim, and therefore would be Mutter, presumably, according to all Shitot. So if you want to, you can just put, instead of twisting the sides together, you can start from one side and just go around in circles, and that would be fine. One last halachic thing, and later on I'll record the issue of kosher, derabban l'shei mitzvah, and of matir, but the last issue on kosher is cable ties. So cable ties, it's very easy to get it in one way, and then pulling it out is much harder. So the Chutshani writes as follows: Chutei plastic, shekatzei achad nechnas bekatzei hasheni v'nitbasvel ayidei hashinayim akvuim bo lefi godel haratzui. So I mean, it's not really a tying motion. It gets caught based on, because of the teeth at the size that you want it. And it's made to hold things together. And then it's very hard to get them detached. And you can't detach them. Sometimes you use it to build a sukkah. You use it sometimes as handcuffs, which is why in Hebrew they are called azikim, which is also handcuffs. He argues that this is not kosher. And this comes back to something we talked about again at the beginning, which is kosher about the knot per se, or is it any time you connect things? If it's any time you connect things, then you have to wonder, as we've mentioned, why this is different than tofer, when it's different than tofer. But here, right, you really don't have a knot at all. You're connecting things. So Rav Karel, it's right. Nirish ain't between the drama yada mishum kosher. Came the ain't kosher davar bedavar. Or Agma had gametosam yachdav. He said the truth is that here not only is there not a knot, but you're not really even connecting things. You're not tying things together. You're pushing them together. You're holding them together, and that's right, even if you think kosher is melechas chibur, presumably it's melechas chibur al yidei kshira through a knot. This is not. It's not really attaching. It's holding together, and there's no knot, so it really isn't domed kosher. V'chein chibur shnei ksavot chutei plastic ein bo mishum kosher. Ach yesho fanim sheish bo mishum miser bone. And he notes that obviously sometimes you use it to build a sukkah, so your problem there is bone. Your problem is not kosher. That's a serious problem, but that is not our malacha. And the Chazon Uvadia, Rav Uvadia Yosef, has a discussion of this in Chelek Hey, Amud Ayin Hey. He as well is Mekel, though he knows there are some Achronim who are Machmir. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any of the Achronim he was quoting who said that it was Usser, to see why exactly they think it's Usser. Mishum Kosher, what they do, presumably either they see this as a knot, or they say that kosher is melechas chibur, and therefore when it connects with anything, is anything like a knot, it's going to be also even without a knot. I'm not quite sure, but if you want to look up those shitot inside, so like I said, it is Chazon Uvadia Chelek Hey Amud Ayin Hey. Okay, so those are just some of the halacha l'maisa applications of kosher, and like I said, I will try to record the two issues that are left. One is kosher derabanan b'makom mitzvah, which is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph based on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Vav, and then hopefully deal with Matir.